Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Clothing, why are you so hands-on with that? Like, what's your vision for that?
A legacy brand, you know what I'm saying, that represent the culture, and it's going to be around for long after me. You know, it's a lot of fashion brands or just brands, and they be like, oh, this streetwear. I'm like, nah, nigga, I represent streetwear, nigga really from the streets, you feel me?
YG has established himself as a major player in the rap game, with hits like My Hitter and FDT. He solidified himself as an entrepreneur, designer, and community leader. And today, we have the pleasure of sitting down with him to discuss this and much more.
You're watching Assets Over Liabilities on The Vault. YG, what's up, my brother?
What up? What's poppin'?
It's all good, man. It's interesting, because I heard you speak a lot of times, but I didn't hear you speak a lot about business. And we got a lot of mutual friends, from Dave Grove to Steve O. They always say, like, YG's a real big business person.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't really get a chance to really explain that. So I feel like this is going to be an interesting conversation to actually maybe have a talk that you haven't had previously.
Yeah, no, for sure that.
Yeah. So let's get into this, man. I want to start at the beginning, actually, speaking to Steve O. He told us, we had lunch with him, and he was like, when he was running around with you at the early stages, and he was like, he couldn't understand why your music was so hot. And he was like, you did something that was extremely genius as far as marketing, where you was going to like house parties all throughout from like San Diego all the way up the coast and handing out your mixtape, your music. And he was like, he realized that you had got hot in the house parties. By the time he realized it, he was like, yo, that's actually like a genius marketing strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's before Tooted and Booted or if that was around the time Tooted and Booted. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, that was around the same time, like Tooted and Booted. Really was like, so Tooted and Booted caught to the world like 2 years after it came out. So like when the song originally came out, like 2008 on MySpace, that's when I like started moving around crazy, doing the house parties. I was in and out of jail. I had like a free YG campaign going on while I was in jail. You feel me? I had like, my peoples was like throwing like free YG parties and all type of just young ghetto shit.
You're a teenager at this time.
Yeah, I was 18. But I had like a movement, you feel me? So I had a gang of young motherfuckers my age with me that was from a lot of different neighborhoods in LA. Like I had a whole bunch of Bloods and a whole bunch of Crips. You feel me? We was all young, you feel me? So when I went to jail, I had this, you feel me? I told everybody, like, look, y'all gotta push this free YG shit while I'm gone. So, you feel me? They was throwing like free YG parties. And it was popping.
Bang the music.
Free YG. It was popping and shit, but like, you feel me? Like, I was doing all that house parties, high school, popping up in the streets, going up and down the coast, just real guerrilla style. Like, we ain't had nobody to like let us know what else we could do. So, you feel me? We just was like, we finna just do whatever we think we need to do. And that was just be outside, you know what I'm saying?
It's interesting, cause like, what you're explaining, it sounds like what artists used to do in the 90s, but you're doing it in the era of MySpace where tech is a thing. And so where'd you draw the inspiration from? Were you watching artists doing that, like East Coast, West Coast, somewhere, and you're like, all right, they attacked it like this, this is our resources, this is how we attacking it.
Like me growing up watching other artists, like we seen them on like 106 and Park,
right?
TRL, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Like, yeah, we ain't know what niggas was doing. You feel me? On the back end, on the back side of things. But I grew up like being like one of the dudes, you feel me, who was having parties all the time. You feel me? At my mama's house, I used to have parties in the garage. And then I started having parties in other places, and I used to like make a lot of money off having parties when I was young.
The promoter?
Hood shit. Yeah, for sure. I was a fucking promoter, basically. You feel me? But it was like, shit was popping. You feel me? I'm paying my mama, you feel me? I'm helping my mama pay the bills at like 16, 17, 18 by throwing parties and shit. So, you feel me? That was just a part of just like who I was, you feel me, as a person at that age. I was doing parties and just like always like having fun. So like when the music shit came, like we just kept that same energy. You feel me? We was at all the parties, we was throwing parties, and that was a vibe. You feel me? We made that type of music too. So it just made sense.
How did you build that like momentum for them to actually want to even throw YG parties while you was on the inside? Like what made them actually believe in you enough to like keep your name alive while you wasn't even on the street?
I don't know, bro. Like shit, I don't know. I mean, you feel me? The whole movement that we had, it was some shit I created. So like everybody that was a part of it, you feel me? They like they was a part of it because of me. You feel me? From the jump. So like when like the main nigga go to jail, like you feel me? You feel me? You gonna turn it up. So you feel me? They like it was lit. All that shit play into like why my name was buzzing, how it was at a young age, how I got signed, all that. You feel me? It all go back to that. And like everybody who was around in that time, like DJs, radio motherfuckers, label motherfuckers, all them was hearing about this shit like nonstop. You know what I'm saying?
So let's talk about the time you got signed. So you come home, building a buzz for yourself. You meet a couple of young producers that y'all are growing together. Talk about that. Like, what was that like, that process of like, I'm trying to get this deal, I'm trying to get this deal, I got this deal, and then what happens after the deal?
All right, so when I went to jail and shit, like, we wasn't even trying to get a deal, like, you know what I'm saying? We was just young, burnt, turned up, having fun. Of course, we wanted to be successful with the music shit, but we wasn't, like, plotting and planning and do that, like, oh, we need to go meet with these labels. It wasn't none of that. We was just doing what we was doing. And then when I went to jail, when I was in jail, I called my mama and she'd tell me, like, yeah, I just, you feel me, this label just called trying to, like, what's up with your son? This label, I'm like, this shit happened when I go to jail. This shit crazy. Like,
perfect time, right?
You feel me? So now I'm in jail. I'm like, oh, fuck, I just blew it. Like, oh, man, that shit fucked me up. But, no, bro, I was blessed to be able to come home like early for the type of shit I went to jail for. And I came home and then 2 months later, I got signed. Like, so like, it wasn't really like niggas wasn't plotting on that shit. It was just, we ended up doing all the right shit. And then the timing was perfect. Like when I came home, it was just like, you feel me? It was God's plan in my eyes. I don't know.
The anticipation was there for it.
Yeah. So I got signed 2 months after that in a fucked up situation, fucked up deal. You know what I'm saying? And I think that shit is what turned me into like, you feel me? Turned me on to just being involved on the business side and just knowing about that shit. Because when I realized what type of deal I was in, which came later on in life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it all started who I am today. Started from because of the fucked up situation I got put in, me entering the music business.
Let's talk about that a little bit. I know you had spoke about that previously, like on Twitter, but why was the deal so bad? Like a 360 deal?
It was, yeah. So I got signed for $25,000.
Okay.
12.5 when I signed, 12.5 6 months later. You know what I'm saying?
And that
was like bullshit.
That was it.
Bro, I used to rob houses and rob shit and get that money. Like,
how many albums was that for?
One single with five options on five albums. You feel me? So I signed a single deal with five album options.
So every time you get hot,
So they had you for five albums.
They're going to pick up the option. Every
but
time.
See, this is why I so fucked up. Because during this time, you feel me? This one, Mustard, you feel me, start going crazy and shit with the beats, you feel me? We created a sound.
Yeah, you two together.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we created a sound. During this time, we created a sound. And we, you feel me, we'll make a whole project and we'll go walking in the dev gym and we'll be like, look, bro, this is my album right here. These are the singles. Bop, 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 bop. You feel me? They'll take it. They'll be like, all right, we finna go play it for the label. You feel me? They'll go do whatever. And they'll come back to me like, yeah, everybody thinks this is regional. And I'm like, nigga, regional? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, it sound like two West Coast. I'm like, nigga, I'm from the West Coast. What the fuck it supposed to sound like? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, at that time, the music shit was just in a weird place, period. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't too many, like, artists like that. Like now, it's like a gang of motherfuckers, and it's a lot of people that got names, and they doing shit, and they selling tickets, and they got... Back then, it was like...
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
On some, like, coming up shit, it was like 10 niggas, like, period. Yeah. Like, everybody knew who the 10 niggas was, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, the music scene was different, and from the West Coast, it wasn't no snooping. Like, Game was the last nigga that we had.
It was like a resurgence when you came.
Yeah, so it was like, and the niggas that was like bubbling, like making the, like trying to make a way was like Nipsey Hussle, Kendrick, Tigers, me, Schoolboy Q, and shit, like, you feel me? So yeah, bro, the timing and shit for just West Coast music was weird. So I had to just go through all that shit. So I was giving these niggas mixtapes. I was turning them in albums. They was like, nah, these ain't albums. So I took them and I said, fuck y'all. And then I put them out for free. But I go fund my whole video. I go fund everything for the project and go put it out for free on Hot New Hip Hop and shit like that. And then I go move around and tour and do shows and shit off the music. And then the songs end up blowing up, and then the radio end up playing them, like, organically. And you feel me? The radio be playing the shit for, like, 6 months. And then a label will come to me like, hey, you feel me? This song is single. We should work it at radio. I'm like, bitch, you been at radio for 6 months already. Fuck you talking about? I'm finna put on my next shit. You feel me? So he was just, bro, nigga went through the trenches. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, though, that shit turned me into, like, who I am today, though.
You said something very important, and I don't think maybe many artists understand that. When you said work it at radio, I remember Young Dolph, you know, rest in peace, had said it takes a certain amount of capital to even work a record. And so you kind of went the other route. You did it a little differently. How much did you need a certain amount of capital to work those records that you were putting out on the mixtapes?
So at a certain point in time, when a record would be playing on the radio, they'll play that like mix show type shit. You feel me? They call it mix show. Boom. I started knowing, you feel me, radio people who do like independent radio shit and all this. So certain songs that start moving on its own, like the DJs just be playing it on the radio themselves. Like we'll know what's going on, and then we'll hire like an indie radio person, pay them like 20, 25K, you feel me, to work the song. But a real radio budget is not 25K, you feel me? But we was doing like 25K at the time. You feel me? This 2011.
Like per song?
Yeah, per song.
Okay, gotcha.
And see, that's mix show. You feel me? That's just working in that mix show. Impacting the record that's a whole nother different level. That's like Rhythmic Radio, the impact of record is like 200,000, I think. 200, 250 or something. And then Urban is another price. And Top 40 is another price. So working a song at radio could be like 500 to like 750.
Per song.
When you on that level, like mainstream type shit.
So a lot of times the label will spend that, and if the song doesn't go, they're going to try to recoup that off anything you make.
No, they got to recoup that regardless.
Right.
But they ain't going to spend that. They just not finna spend that. Like, they just not finna spend that.
Because I'm thinking the songs you got. Like, I'm like, some of them, like, I mean, we in New York. And they going off, they ringing off. And so I'm like, are they putting that money behind that?
No, that was like a lot of organic shit.
Your shit was like really organic.
And then we was spending money like, you feel me, on the West Coast, but or whatever bled over there, like before my nigga,
yeah.
It was all like organic shit.
Organic vibes.
Yeah.
When did you learn about like masters and publishing and all of that?
Shit, man. I've been hearing about it for a minute and shit, but like when I really was like, all right, bet, like, yep. Probably like 2016, 2017, 16 and shit.
That's when you like really got educated on it.
Yeah, for sure.
So during this time, obviously, as you're making the music, you're getting hot, but they keep reading up the option. You're starting to think about your own imprint. Is the birth of 400, I guess, the imprint itself, right? Because it started out as clothing, but it's a lifestyle brand now. Is it a byproduct of the circumstances that I had, or do you come into the game saying, like, this is going to be my imprint from the jump?
I came into the game with some shit called Pushers, you know what I'm saying? Pusher Inc. Mm-hmm. The label, that's the shit. Me, Mustard Todd, we was all, you feel me, pushing that. You feel me? With some that was the click that I was talking about from back in the day. Mm-hmm. You feel me? That you feel me, nigga started. Nigga came in the game on that. But you know, like, you feel me, everybody got successful when did their own shit. So then, but I was pushing 400, like 400, that's the block, you feel me? So I was pushing 400 from day one since I've been rapping. You know what I'm saying? When it came time to like start something new, like, and like really like, all right, I'm finna create my next thing that's gonna be my thing. You feel me? I just went with that. I ain't try to go thinking no crazy shit. I said, bro, they keep screaming this shit. Just take that.
Sauce.
You feel me? So, yeah. You feel me? I'm like, I'm finna do this 400 shit. It started off because I did a mixtape called 400 Degrees. And you feel me? That's how the logo got created and all that. I put the mixtape out. I went on tour. Boom, I started selling the 400 Degrees merch. It was going crazy. And then when I seen that, I'm like, all right, I'm finna turn this into my, like, the real brand. You know what I'm saying? So I did that. It's been up ever since.
So speaking of the 400 brand, let's talk about the clothing. Because everybody I speak to, Dave Gross, he was like, talk to him about the clothing. He's real hands-on. He's really hands-on. So obviously, I know you do the fashion. What's the 400 clothing? Why are you so hands-on with that? Like, what's your vision for that?
Man, my vision for the 400 brand is, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? The brand represents the West Coast and, like, you feel me? The culture, like the streets. You know, it's a lot of fashion brands or just brands, and they be like, oh, this streetwear, we represent streetwear, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, nigga, I represent streetwear, nigga really from the streets, you feel me? This brand really represents the streets, you know what I'm saying? The shit that corporate America just, you feel me? Shit that brands are scared to do, they can't do because they feel like it's not appropriate because it's on some corporate America shit. We represent all that type of shit. I'm finna do a lot of shit for, like, people that don't get thought of, like, motherfuckers that's in jail doing time. You feel me? People that been, like, mamas that been victims of, like, you feel me, they sons dying from gang violence and all type of shit like that. I'm finna do a whole lot of programs, you feel me? And it's all funded by the brand, you know? But as far as, you feel me, the brand and where I see the brand and the future of the brand is, like, a legacy brand. You know what I'm saying? That represent the culture, and it's gonna be around for long after me. You feel me? That's some shit that, like, Nip was on me about. Like, we used to talk about, he really used to talk about that shit and be on that shit, and then, like, it took me some time to really, like, all right, bet. You feel me? That's what we doing. Let's do it.
I think I see those parallels because I'm thinking about it when you said the brand. I'm thinking of Marathon Clothing.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm thinking 400.
Yeah.
And so as he's drawing up his vision for that, he's telling you he's doing it. You're getting inspired saying, like, all right, bro, I could do this too.
Yeah, that's exactly what was going on and shit. Like, Nip was, like, you know what I'm saying? We had link, we had talk, but, like, we always end up talking about shit that mattered, you know what I'm saying? You feel me? We two rap niggas, two gang members, linking up, but we, like, talking about real shit, you feel me? So, like, he was big on that, like, creating a brand and putting that shit in motherfuckers' faces. And creating a brand that's gonna live long, long, long after, you feel me, the person that created it, you know? So, you feel me, that was some shit he was on, like, and I used to be like, bro, like, I'm not even, how you thinking? Like, bro, like,
not on that type of talk.
I'm like 21, bro, this nigga like 4 or 5 years older than me, so he talking to me, I'm like, bro, what the fuck is you talking about, bro? Nigga, you ain't trying to hit this drink right now, nigga, what you talking about? No, cause I'm sick, so I'm telling you, cuz, like, you gotta, like, on the gang, bro, so, yeah, Nip really put that on me, like, no homo and shit, like, but he like, you feel me?
Real New York, real New York.
Yeah, like, he really got me thinking. So, our Nip dropped the project, you feel me, TMC, of the Marathon Continues, you know what I'm saying? And you feel me, this how you know this shit is real, this ain't made up, can't make this shit up. So, Nip TMC cover is, it's his logo, you feel me, the flag. And then it's like a picture of him, like,
yep.
blended in with the flag, right? Mm-hmm. You feel me? That was like, that was when he like launched, you feel me, or the TMC brand officially, you feel me, when he had separated it from Crenshaw. Like he did that, he had the Crenshaw shit, but then he had, you feel me, he did the TMC shit, right?
So he did that.
I think that tape came out 2011 or something.
2011, yep.
Right. So this, like we talking about all this during this time. So boom, Nip do that.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tape crazy, got the city going up, you hear me? So I'm like, all right, boom. I start seeing all this shit. I'm like, yeah, that's dope. I'm like, okay, the homie, yep, yep. So I come with my tape, 2012, 400 Degrees.
Yeah.
And if you go look at the both of them tapes, bro, like the covers is damn near the same. I got my 400 logo, and then it's a picture of me, like, blended in that shit. You feel me? So, like Nip put a nigga on all type of shit, like for sure. And it was, like, a known, like, it was a known thing. We talked about it a lot. And I told him, like, yeah, bro, like, yeah, you got me on that. Like, yeah. Yeah, that brand shit, where it's at.
That's a valuable lesson right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times we try to reinvent something. Like, nah, man, that worked. That's duplicated. We talk about that all the time with people in business. And that's a great example. He's just like, a lot of times in school you taught, don't copy, don't copy. You don't even look at the person next to your paper. But when you get into business, that's all you do. You have to work together. You have to look over to see what they're doing so you can grow. So that's like a, one of those great lessons that you actually implemented.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it was like, nigga, I ain't give a fuck. I'm like, yeah, Nip just did that. I'm finna do it too, nigga. Like, yeah.
It worked twice.
Yeah. No, for sure, bro.
Was it true that y'all was gonna do a joint album?
Yeah, bro. We been linked up like three times and really, all right, let's start working on this. All right, cool. We had locked in for like 2 weeks and shit.
Mm-hmm. How far did it get?
Man, with Nip. Man, that nigga Nip crazy. All right, so the first time it didn't get far at all. The second time was when we did the Fuck Donald Trump song. We started working on this project called Two of America with the KKK,
yeah.
Most Wanted. And boom, you feel me? That was the project. And it was gonna be just talking about like gang banging, South Central, Compton, ghetto shit. But like, you feel me, like
on some Tupac revolutionary type.
Tupac, me, Ice Cube.
Yeah, you feel me, like
shit like that. So we in the studio, and this time, Donald Trump announced he running for president. So he all on the TV news and shit. So everybody talking about, you feel me, that shit. So we leave the studio. I call Nip. I'm like, hey, bro, I said if we doing this project, Two of America's Most Wanted. I said, we got to make a song called Fuck Donald Trump.
You call six songs, all that thought, fuck that nigga.
So I'm like, yeah, bro, I don't like this nigga, bro. I'm saying this nigga too much. I'm saying like, nah, we got to do the song. He like, nigga, let's do it. So we go to the studio, and I got the beat in my computer. Like, I just pull up this beat that I, like, was fucking with, but I never made a song to it. Boom, played the beat. And then I just start, Fuck Donald Trump, boom, about Nip, like, yeah, that's it. Like, I'm like, yeah, he like, yeah, bro, record that shit. We do that whole song, we put that shit out, and that shit start going crazy, and we never finished the tape, because it was like, nigga, we...
this is hot.
We came for already, like, fuck we need a tape for? Like, yeah, so, you feel me, that was the second one, and then the third one, or the third time was like, 2008, like September and shit, we had started, we had booked studio for like 2 weeks, we had started and shit up and shit. But you know that nigga Nip be on like Nip got purpose, like everything got purpose. Every step that nigga takes, like with purpose, you know what I'm saying? That's how he programmed, you feel me? So while creating, like shit gonna take longer, you know what I'm saying? Cause he just not just doing shit because of, he's just doing shit, it's like, all the way thought out, you know what I'm saying? So it's a high level of respect, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to Nipsey on some like creating shit, art and all that. It ain't no, he just not doing nothing. He gonna, it's very thought out.
So let me ask you this, as far as your manager, Scooter Braun, everybody knows, legendary situation. How's that working with him? Are y'all doing any business together? I know he's obviously done a lot of different businesses. And what kind of information has he given you as far as in the business world?
Working with Scooter Braun, whole management company is dope. I got a lot of stuff in works, you know what I'm saying, from TV and film to all type of shit that I really can't talk about. But he done threw me some investment plays, you know what I'm saying? He done threw me some stuff, some opportunities. And then I be having like shit that I feel like I want to invest in and I think is good. And then I run it by him. And he'll look at it and his investment team will look at it and be like, nah, bro, this not it. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah, this is it. They got like departments, you feel me? TV and film department, marketing department, branding department, you feel me? They got all these different departments. So it's like really like an infrastructure, you know what I'm saying? And I get to utilize that.
So what type of investments are we talking about? Like stocks, real estate, crypto, what are we talking about?
Nah, it'd be like companies that like want me to be a part and they'll give me equity for like my celebrity, you know what I'm saying? But then they'd be like, hey, we know your manager and ask him if he wanna be a part of it. We got these people aboard, but they'd be naming like motherfucking like top celebrities though. So I'll let them know like, hey, whoop. But they'll be like, yeah, bro, this ain't even like that. Like, this bullshit. You feel me?
Yeah.
You feel me? Because they do that shit at a high level.
Yeah.
So be that type of shit. It ain't like all my other like crypto shit. All that shit is like, that's just side shit. You feel me? That's like gambling. You feel me? That's like going to Vegas.
Very similar.
Can be.
That's a fact. Let's talk about this reality show that I found out that you had shot. I think it was called Stimulus Package.
Yeah.
So talk about that. The concept was really dope.
So it was me and a homie Dave Gross, and it was like you know, back in the day, Diddy shit. Making the band,
all that
type of shit. It was basically like that. Because Dave Gross was like, look, bro, you feel me? These companies, they always put black people in these houses and they see us and we fucking fighting each other and we doing all this crazy shit and they just make us look like, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So he like ain't nobody ever put, you know, black people in a house and showed them or helped them go after they, you feel me, their goals, their dreams and shit like that. So I'm like, yeah, bro, that's right. Like you right. And so we was working on it. We did like the pilot and shit.
Now, so you took different kids from different neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods and shit.
Different neighborhoods, put them in a house, no drama, no beef. They had to deal with each other, got them like internships and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it was like a real positive vibe.
Yeah, real positive vibe. It was like motherfuckers is from the ghetto, but you know how you could be a kid from the ghetto, you got ideas of like dope shit, like making it out, but you don't got the resources.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We was putting them in the house and we was like, basically like, whatever resources y'all need, what's up? You know what I'm saying? And doing all that shit. It was like boot camp type shit at the same time. Motherfuckers had to work out. You had to eat right. All that type of shit.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah,
one of my favorite things in this world is sneakers.
Yeah.
And I think people kind of overlook what you did in the sneaker game with your brand. So can we talk about the Flame sneaker and specifically, obviously, the Block Runners? Because when I saw it, I'm like, wait, he's not signed to a brand. This isn't under Nike.
No, that's my shit. It's fully funded by a motherfucking nigga.
Right. So yeah. We don't want to overlook like that. So you fully funded your own brand. Talk about that, man.
Yeah, I fully funded my own brand. I had to go through the process of finding the right manufacturer to produce the shoe, all that type of shit. Did all the sampling, fucking went through the quality of the leather, genuine leather, because, you know, a lot of these sneakers that say they're 100% leather, it's not 100% leather.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So my whole thing was like, all right, I got to make, because I'm a nigga making some shoes. They gonna expect my shit to be like the ghetto version. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nah, I'm finna give them the higher quality version. So I fully funded it myself. I did everything myself, me and my team, like a 2-3 person team, you know what I'm saying? It was an idea that I came up, we executed it, and we did it, and now I got my own shoes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they moving.
Young nigga.
They moving.
Young nigga for the ghetto with his own thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then part of it, I mean, obviously when you create your own shoe, you could call the shots on it, so you did a lot of give backs with those shoes, right? That's something that, again, like, people are not talking about that, but we see it, and so we wanted to highlight that. So you've been able to give it back to the people in the community, right?
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Yeah, we gave, for the first drop, I went to give out shoes to the homeless, you know what I'm saying? And like a lot of brands, like, right, because you talk about brands and just company and business and shit. Like when you a fashion brand or a shoe brand, if you seen giving away shoes and shit like that, it water downs the brand.
Devalues
it, makes it look
the brand,
like
yeah.
You feel me? Devalues the brand and all this corporate America shit. But I'm like, bro, I'm from the streets, my nigga. Mm. I'm selling shoes that cost $200, nigga. Sold out in 8 minutes, nigga. Yeah. Fuck y'all niggas. I don't need y'all coolness, nigga. Yeah. I don't need y'all stamp. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, bro, I'm giving back to people that don't get no attention. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I did that for the homeless. And then I did the shit for the my second drop. I gave a pair of shoes to like 100 motherfuckers who was in jail doing life sentences. But they came home due to like laws changing and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody, he a movie producer. And he got this, like he do God work all day. He get them type of people out of jail. His name's Scott Budnick and shit. He a big movie producer. You feel me? He helped me put that shit together. So yeah, I do shit like that. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? The money gonna come. Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to create a brand that represent the culture and that, you feel me? That people be like, nah, that's our shit.
So when you make something that's successful, the next thing is like, how do you duplicate it? And so what's the vision for the brand? Are more shoes coming?
Like, oh yeah, more everything, all that. That's, yeah. So with the shoes, the first year was like, I was figuring it out. I didn't have no, like I did everything on my own. So you know, you feel me, you gonna run into situations like, okay, I know not to do this again. Mm-hmm. Oh, you feel me, so.
Yeah, what are some of those things you like, damn, probably shouldn't, I'm not gonna win that the next time.
So just like, just how you order shoes and shit, flying them in versus shipping them on a boat. You feel me? It's a whole price, it's like $10 more each box type shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So if you're doing 1,000 to 5,000 units and you flying them in, that's 10 more dollars you paying to fly them in versus shipping them. Mm-hmm. So really what these big companies do like Nike and shit, you feel me? They be on a calendar where they like a year ahead already. So they already making and ordering shoes that's gonna come out next year. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So it's like I had to learn all that shit, go through that shit, just be all the way thought out, planned out, you know what I'm saying, ahead of the curve. You save money like that. You save money. Like everything just be better like that. You save money, you know what you're doing. Months ahead of it, you can start marketing shit early as fuck, start gifting it out early, get the right people wearing the shit early, build the anticipation up. all that type of shit. So I had to learn about all that. The shoe game and the clothing shit is two different worlds. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn about that. A lot of motherfuckers was calling to put my shoes in a retail store and shit. But I'm like, nah, we not doing none of that. We on online only for the first year because that's how I did the clothing brand. Mm-hmm. You feel me? It was like, nah, we ain't doing none of that. So it was just a lot of shit I was learning about, you feel me, the whole shoe game. But, yeah.
Let's talk about real estate. Speaking of Dave, I know, what turned you on to the real estate? And what's your plans for the real estate?
I got turned on to real estate late. But what turned me on is I brought some houses, and then I started doing shit like remodeling them and adding shit and building studios and just learning that whole process. And then I'm like, damn, this is some shit I could fuck with and make some money. You know what I'm saying? Nip used to talk to me about buying duplexes and shit. I used to be like, I'm not into that, dog. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I was young as shit, though, so like I wasn't thinking like that. But now it's like, bro, that shit is like, I could fuck with that. You feel me? I really like remodeling shit. Like I fuck with that heavy.
We're gonna see him on his own rehab show.
HGTV.
Yeah, I fuck with that. Like, I bought a house and I did the whole interior design, you feel me? The whole shit. It's like, hire interior designer. I'm doing my own shit. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing my own shit. Still working on it right now.
Well, it's like fashion. It's like if you're an artist, period.
Yeah.
It's like it's all art.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We interviewed Shaq. He said he spent $1 million in one day when he first got drafted. He broke it down. It was a crazy story. What's your biggest purchase, or what was the thing that you did when you got your first like real big check?
I bought my first house with my first real lump sum of money. So I bought
a
house.
You did something positive.
Yeah.
You ain't do nothing stupid.
Nah. I mean, I grew like when I was, before I put out my album, bro, I was moving around, getting money, doing shows and just club shit. So I was getting money, doing dumb shit back then. So when it was like finally like a real situation, like I'm like, damn, I'm really like, I got an album, I got real records. I'm finna start making real money. You feel me? I wasn't really spending nothing because I was just spooked to lose it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nigga, you feel me? The homie's like, bro, why you ain't got no, you ain't buying no watches and all the chains and shit. I'm like, bro, man, fuck all that shit. I'm trying to make sure I keep this shit. You know what I'm saying? And then like once I'm like, yeah, this shit ain't finna stop. Like, once nigga got the program or the cycle, it's like, yeah, this shit ain't finna stop. It's like, all right, bet. Let's get it. You know?
So the real estate game, I mean, I'm listening to this. It's pretty diverse, right? You said the clothing game, obviously, singing game, two different things. But the music is where the passion is. And so I know that 400, the label itself, is now under Epic, joint venture with Epic.
Mm-hmm.
How did that deal come about, and what are we seeing in the near future for the 400, the label?
Well, that deal came about, I had a JV, a joint venture deal with Interscope, but it got fucked up at Interscope. So I had to go take my talents to Epic. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we did that. I met with Sylvie and shit. And yeah, we did the deal. And then I signed my first two artists over there. And then COVID hit like a month, like 2 months later. Yeah, the JV at Epic. And I got Day Sulan from Compton. She was dancing at Crazy Girls. I pulled out the strip club. And then I got D3, you feel me, from the Nickerson's, he from Watts, Nickerson Gardens. Other my two artists I got signed at 400 with Epic right now.
So let me ask you this. Who turned you on to crypto?
Nip
turned you on to crypto?
Yeah.
Tell that story.
I mean, I think Nip turned a lot of motherfuckers on to crypto, like, you know what I'm saying? Because he was talking about that shit
early,
like, Nip turned the nigga on a lot of shit, like V, like Dr. Sebi, all that shit, like that all came.
You're
from
vegan?
I go vegan like once every year for some time. I do like a detox.
Clean your
I ain't did it since COVID though. When COVID hit, I'm like, nigga, I'm not, I'm fucked up. The world fucked up. Nigga, we fucked up.
Okay, let's do the world all together.
Yeah, like, nigga, I like, so.
Cheeseburgers like, for everybody.
I ain't with vegan. Like, my last time vegan, it was like December 2019 and like January something 2020.
So if you're not making money from your music, from like record sales, streaming, because of bad contracts, how you make money? From just touring? That's like the number one?
Yeah, that's how I was making money before. Just touring. I really never really seen no money off my music, like
seen that.
Off my records.
Never?
Shit. I never seen a check because of my album went platinum and my singles, 6-time platinum, 4 times platinum, 2 times platinum off of one album. Never seen a check. You feel me? The only check I get is when you turn the album to put it out, the events. Which was some bullshit, but now I own all my shit. I'm in the right deals. I mean, profit share deal, all that shit. So now it's gonna be a different story. You know what I'm saying? All my money was coming off touring and shit. So that's what had me really like motivated to start a brand and really like because I'm like, bro, like how I'm gonna survive, nigga. And this is like back in the day. Like now it's like. Now it's like, all right, nigga don't gotta have a brand. A nigga could be straight off this show money and off this other shit. But back then it was like, nigga, you gotta figure something else out. Cause this ain't really, especially living in LA.
Yeah.
Cost of living out here, you know what I'm saying?
Taxes is real.
Yeah.
Taxes is real. The houses.
Both taxes, nigga, the cost of living.
Cost of living, yeah, that's true. So I was saying now, the relationship with Epic. And obviously 400 being there, the label, is YG the artist now on 400, the label? Or how's that working?
So YG the artist.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm in a joint venture with myself and Def Jam.
Okay.
Under 400 / Def Jam.
Okay.
At Def Jam. And then I got my 400 JV at Epic.
Gotcha.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So now you own your masters?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
So the scared money.
That shouldn't be, see, that's the problem. That shouldn't even be a congratulations. That's supposed to be the normal.
Normal. Right. That's a fact.
But they don't, we don't realize it. So that was when we, early on, we had asked, like, we see it all the time. People don't own their masters. Like, what's the best way to own your masters? And the answer was never sell it. Never sign it away.
Never give it away.
Yeah. But most people don't think that.
But nah, cause bro, most of the motherfuckers is rapping, bro. They coming up from the streets. They ain't got no money. They ain't got no real guidance. No person to be like, bro, no, that you really gonna listen to. Like,
yeah.
Like the only way, bro, to like get around that is if you got your own money. And you come into the rap game with your own money. Like, because when you got your own money, you already
thinking different.
You own a different shit. You know how to find out different shit. You probably know the nigga to call that could tell you about some shit. You feel me? When you a young nigga coming up, nigga, you in a ghetto in the trenches doing ghetto shit, robbing shit, doing all the shit, and you end up getting signed, like, bro, how your life was set up. Due to the type of life you was living, you don't know these type of people. Like, but now, like the internet, like people like Jay-Z and the internet didn't get like, that's how we know. You feel me? That's how motherfuckers like know what not to do. Go look at Jay-Z interviews. Go look at Nip interviews. Go on the internet and find this shit out. You feel me?
Watch on your leisure.
Yeah, and then you see your peers and like, you feel me, you hear about niggas start talking what they got and what they, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, nigga, don't do this, don't do that. Like, that's how the younger generation gonna be able to be guided in the right path. But like I didn't have that shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a fact.
How gratifying is it now when you, because I watched the Scared Money video. I mean, you just look happier. You just look happier. The video's dope. I mean, you're very hands-on in that process. How gratifying is it now to have one of these records? It's just like, yo, this is mine. This is my shit, right? Yeah.
I feel good. I've been waiting on this moment for a long time, bro. Like I've been through a whole lot of, like, shit. And I'm like, damn, am I going to even make it out to even see the other side of this shit? Like, you feel me? So to finally, like, be able to live this shit. And it's just the beginning, bro. That's the first record nigga put out. Like, it's the beginning. But it feel good, though. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, after all the shit I done did and gave to the game and people I done helped be successful and just the whole shit is like, that shit that I'm over there, my masters and just owning my shit, bro, that shit is a given. You feel me? So it's just a nigga happy, but I be like, bro, I've been posted. This is supposed to be regular for me, you know?
Let me ask you this before we leave. City of Compton, you know, always been legendary since Eazy-E. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, the game, yourself, Kendrick Lamar. How important is it to have the give back? I know you do a lot of stuff in your community. What's some of the things that you're doing in the community? Like, what's your connection with the city of Compton? Oh, and why is Compton such a special place? Because I feel like Serena Williams, we didn't talk about them.
Oh, yeah.
Why
yeah,
is yeah, it? It's a small city, but a lot of stars and celebrities have come out of there.
Something in the water or something in the air. I mean, like, when you coming up, you feel me, in that area, for motherfuckers like me, my, you know what I'm saying, my generation, that's like when motherfuckers come play for the Lakers, you feel me? It's like, you like, fuck, Magic, all these niggas. It's like, shit. You feel me? So, like, when you coming from the city, it's like, bro, like, you gonna go hard at whatever you doing. You gonna eat the gang banging shit. You gonna be a full fledged member.
You gonna get the jersey retired.
Five star general.
Yeah, it's just like, you feel me? Like, you gotta think like a lot of the key elements of like West Coast culture came from like Eazy-E and N.W.A. Bro, like from bro the Cortez. Okay. You feel me, the Los, you feel me, the Raider gear, all the shit, bro. That shit came from them, like, you know what I'm saying? And that shit impacted the whole West Coast, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
impacted the whole world.
Yeah, impacted the whole world. And just like, that's why I think it's something in the air or something in the water or something. Yeah, as far as shit I'm doing, I used to do a lot with Asia Brown. You feel me? I was the mayor. We got a new mayor now. I used to do a lot, but like when COVID hit and all that, I really ain't been doing too much. I really been really plotting and really thinking about, because I used to do a lot of like giving back clothes and
Thanksgiving
dinners. My mama go cook for it. Like my mama, she loved like doing that, like anything, like feeding everybody, cooking, doing all the, she doing all that. And I'd be like, all right, mama, listen, we've been doing this for like some years. We need to like level up, because it's like doing that is cool. But I think it's other people who can come feed and cook for people. I'm trying to do some next level shit, you know what I'm saying? That'll help change some lives on some next level shit.
Legend. Yeah. We're going to YG Legend. You got
certified.
Entrepreneur, mentor, father.
I ain't a mentor, man.
Well, you may not know that. But somebody's life is being impacted by the things you're saying. And I'm sure somebody's gonna be impacted by this interview itself. But I wanna know for yourself, right? What do you want your legacy to be?
My shit is really like everything that I'm doing and I wanna do is really for my family, you know what I'm saying? Trying to break the family curse, create generational wealth and all that. And with me doing what I'm doing for my family, it's going to, I'm helping bless a lot of other people outside of my family, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it starts from the family, you know? But I'm not trying to be the motherfucker that had it and didn't do nothing with it. Mm. And then, like, my kids have babies, and they start doing their family history research, and they find out, oh, wow, gee, that was one of our... It's like... How we living like this? What?
Well, we're moving on,
Dan. Yeah, like, no, that's out, bro. Like, I don't like that. So, like, my whole shit, everything I'm doing is like to be like live long after me. You know what I'm saying? And like the brands and the companies I'm trying to build and everything I'm working on. Of course, it's gonna be left for my family. But then I'm gonna create jobs for other motherfuckers. And like, my whole thing is like, helping the hopeless, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, that was thing that Nipsey was big on, like, you feel me? And, like, it's proof, you know what I'm saying? He had his spot right there in his neighborhood, Krishan Slauson, and he employed all his homies and homegirls, and, you feel me, they was building that out, you feel me, to be a thing. And, like, that's, like, some of the same type of shit, you feel me, I want to do. The dude I mentioned earlier, his name's Scott Bunnick. He do God work. He get a lot of people out of jail. He helped change the laws. He the reason why a lot of motherfuckers start coming home early. He a part of that, you feel me, from life sentences and shit. Everybody that work in his office on some real business shit, handling real business, all them motherfuckers was in jail fighting life. And now they in there doing, like, corporate shit, you feel me? Mm-hmm. So I tell Scott, I'm like, bro, I'm trying to be like you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going up to Scott and I'm pitching him ideas I got for 400. Like, and he like, bro, who, why? Like, what made you want to do this? I'm like, you. I'm trying to be mm-hmm. like you. Cause he like a fucking big movie producer, bro. He don't got to do what he doing.
Right.
You feel me? He inspired me a lot cause he helping my, like, my little brother finna get out. He had 15 of life. He finna be getting out any day now. And he went through one of Scott programs and shit in prison. And like he did, like he got himself into that. He was calling me like, bro, I need you to meet with Scott. I'm like, who the fuck is Scott? He's like, bro, he's a movie producer. He produced this movie. I'm like, how the fuck I'm gonna get with this nigga? I don't know this nigga. He like, figure it out. So I ended up figuring it out, bro. And then like me and Scott, you feel me? We like linked up. Scott took me to the prison, walked me in a prison. You feel me? You feel me, my little bro, like, walked me in the prison, talking about, like, I'm walking on the yard.
Not like
you
a visitor.
Like, you feel like... me? Niggas like, YG, what's up? Crib. I'm like, ah. I'm like, fuck.
What have you done?
I'm like, man, what I do, man? I'm like, man, you know what?
Nobody recognized him.
You feel me? Hey, so, like, but he had me in that motherfucker, you feel me? So, I just see my little bro. I'm like, damn, this nigga Scott different. Like, he different, bro. So that inspired me and shit, like inspired me a lot. So, like, you feel me? I'm trying to do shit like that, bro. Like, I want my legacy to be about me being me, of course, and doing all the things I want to do and leaving it behind for my people, but also outside of me, the shit I did for people that I don't even know. You feel me? People that I just know, you know what I'm saying, is... probably dealing with, you feel me, the eyes, you feel me, of life, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to create opportunities and shit for other motherfuckers who wouldn't have no opportunities and shit like that, you know? And yeah, that's my whole shit.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Anything that we could do to help, let us know too.
I'm not the type of dude that know how to ask for help. I don't know.
Okay.
So if y'all feel like y'all can help, let me know. No, real shit.
Nah, definitely.
Bro, I'm not, yeah. Like, real shit.
We're going to get it done.
Dug it out.
YG, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.